Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast here on the UBS Send It Out podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, it's great to be back on with you. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke, but there is, of course, as always, plenty to catch up on.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. It's great to be back with you. There is so much happening in D.C., so plenty to catch up on right now.
Definitely. So perhaps we can begin with Congress. I know we've talked about a lot of congressional priorities in the new year since we began with their episodes in 2025 back in January. You think about budget negotiations. Those are still ongoing. You have a looming government funding deadline coming up in March. So where do some of these priorities stand as of today?
Yeah, no, you're right. There is this looming deadline, March 14th. And so that is a lot of negotiations back and forth. But I think what's happening kind of behind the scenes is a lot of frustration from Democrats because this bill actually needs to be bipartisan to pass the Senate. And Democrats who, recognize in the Senate that they have some leverage want to utilize that to push back on Elon Musk and Doge and some of their activities. And that's a no-go for most Republicans. So, you know, I think negotiations on this right now are not going well. And, you know, the chance of a government shutdown in just over 2 weeks is increasing. That doesn't mean it's certain yet, but, you know, every day that goes by, it looks a little bit more likely. At the same time, in the budget sphere, you have both the House and Senate moving forward with budget resolutions. These are kind of thinking of them as outlines for where Republicans want to head on budget items, and not only for the coming fiscal year, but years out. And what's important to note about these budget resolutions is that the House and Senate have very different views of how to proceed. And what it is, you know, kind of strategy, if you will. And the strategy in the House is to have one big, beautiful bill, as President Trump has termed it. The Senate is trying to break it up into two bills. And this is a little bit procedural, but it's important because there are concerns from a number of people, including President Trump, that if you go with the Senate's approach, that may put at risk some of the items that they're trying to get across the finish line in the one big, beautiful bill approach. Most notably, potentially a tax bill, which is one of the main pieces of the Trump agenda for this year.
So Congress is clearly spinning a lot of plates. Maybe one item to focus in on, spend more time on, that being tax legislation, I know is a big focus of our listeners and clients. So a curious, Shane, as to what the prospects at this point are of an extension to the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which, of course, is a priority of the Trump administration.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that it's one of the top priorities. Because, you know, for President Trump, this is a little bit of his legacy, his first term. And also, you know, if taxes go up starting January 1st, 2026, you know, that's on President Trump's watch. And, you know, I don't think he really wants Americans to be paying more taxes and, you know, on his clock. So I think he's concerned about that. Secondly, you obviously have what could be a negative impact on the economy and some strain Americans. So, you know, I think Republicans are pushing hard for a renewal of the 2017 tax cuts. But going back to what I was saying before, there is this component of strategy and the concern that the strategy may bog down the tax bill. Additionally, you know, we're not even to the details part yet, but when we get there, I think, you know, there's a number of Republicans who are concerned about the size of the tax bill. Not only, you know, what tax cuts to include in it and renew from the 2017 bill, but what do you build upon? You know, President Trump made a number of promises on the campaign trail that a lot of Republicans want to make good on, like no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security benefits. And some of those will probably happen. Some may be changed a little bit. But what happens is you're adding on to future deficits, or at least that's how, you know, current budgetary rules look at it. And, you know, your budget hawks in the Republican Party are concerned about, you know, that and not having that number grow too big. So, you know, Republicans will look to possibly offset some of the tax cuts with, you know, spending reductions in other places, or maybe some targeted tax increases. So it's a very fluid bill, especially, you know, as it relates to the details. But we do expect a renewal of most of the 2017 tax cuts. And I think we'll continue to talk about this as this progresses and we get a better handle on, you know, some specifics, especially anything that may change from, you know, essentially today's current law.
Yeah, certainly something we'll follow up on, but thank you, Shane, for helping us to manage expectations with respect to this piece of legislation. If we step away from legislation, focus on confirmation of cabinet-level positions, this ongoing within the Senate. Since we last spoke, we have seen some notable progress with respect to these cabinet-level confirmations. This includes RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard. I think some 30 minutes ago, we saw Kash Patel be confirmed as FBI director. So at this point, what are some notable confirmations remaining, and might all of these nominees make it through?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think also since we've spoken, like maybe Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins was approved. So, you know, a lot going on. And to your point, you know, Kash Patel was one of the more controversial people, as RFK and Tulsi Gabbard were as well. So, and all three of those succeeded. So, you know, President Trump is doing pretty well when it comes to getting his cabinet appointees approved by the Senate, but also the time. Usually this takes much longer, but the Senate is really focusing on getting these people in place to try and get the executive branch up and running. There are a few more out there. Linda McMahon at Department of Education, Lori Chavez DeRemer at Department of Labor, and then some other people like Elise Stefanik as the United Nations ambassador, and a whole host of other people. But I think, you know, we're going to see some more controversy as we kind of get to the sub-cabinet level, which is to say, you know, when we see the deputy assistant secretaries, you know, we're already seeing some Senate Republicans pushing back on the kind of third level of nominees for the Department of Defense. So I think Republican senators who have some concern, you know, are going to choose to express that concern at the lower level appointees versus the higher appointees. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, this will be looked back on and remarked about how smoothly it went compared to what was thought, you know, a few weeks and months ago, and also how quickly President Trump was able to advance his cabinet through the process.
Well, thank you, Shane, for that inventory. And again, this is something we'll continue to monitor in the weeks ahead. If we close out on geopolitics, and of course, a lot of developments pertaining to the Israel-Hamas war, and we did see that Prime Minister Netanyahu visit the White House in recent days, but we've also been tracking fast-moving developments on a potential end or resolution to the Russia-Ukraine war, which we've been covering since 2022. So where do those talks stand today? And interestingly, who is involved in them and who isn't?
Yeah, I think the most notable move forward was Secretary of State Rubio met with Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov a couple days ago in the Middle East. And, you know, there was no agreement at that time. The agreement was essentially to keep talking and set up working groups to work on this. But what was also notable was that no one from Ukraine participated in that event. And so Ukraine is pushing back, and at the same time is led to kind of a war of words between Ukrainian President Zelensky and U.S. President Trump. And you're seeing some positioning that has Europe very concerned about, President Trump working with Russia to end this war in a manner that may not be favorable to not only Ukraine, but some other of Russia's neighbors in Europe that are concerned about their own position with Russia. So, you know, I think you've seen some U.S. officials like Vice President Vance and Treasury Secretary Bessent talk to Ukraine about, how we can work together. And one of those is one of those ways that they're pursuing is to have Ukraine give the U.S. $500 billion in rare earth minerals, which are critical to, especially technology. And so, Ukrainian President Zelensky and his team are not enthralled by that approach. So, but I think, it's the start of the conversation. And, as we move forward, while some people believe this will be resolved very quickly, I don't think it will be. This is kind of the opening round, if you will.
Yeah, well, some fascinating developments, and we will continue to track how these negotiations progress. Though, Shane, great catching up with you today, as always. Thank you for dropping by and covering a wide range of topics, and I do look forward to picking back up with the conversation next week.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, Dan. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. As always, I do want to highlight for our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication on UBS.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.